because somebody dragged you, because you thought it was the right thing to do. I've been to many churches over my lifetime, and I walk into the church, and I do a kind of a quick evaluation. Come on, you do that too, don't you? You walk into a church, and you sit in the pew or the chairs, and you go, these are pretty comfortable. These will do. Or you go, like, at one church, I sat in the pews, and I go, how does anybody ever sit here? The seat was about 6 inches wide, and the back was tilted forward, and I said, man, they really want me to lean into this message. You look around, and you start to read the bulletin. You look at the bulletin, and you say, oh, my goodness, this bulletin is fantastic. Or maybe not. You go, it's packed with too much, or it just doesn't tell me what I need to know. Bulletins. Then the announcements come along, and a guy like Steve Mitten gets up, and he starts to share the announcements, and you go, I like that guy. He's a lot of fun. He gave me some good information. This morning, he started with prayer, and he did that video thing. Oh, that wasn't too bad. Thank you, Steve. Pretty good, man. Oh, then you come along to the biggie, of course. One of the biggies is the worship music. And you know, here at our church, we're working on our worship, and we got to sing some songs this morning. And some of you went, oh, I haven't heard those songs ever before. They're brand new to me. I'm not sure I like those songs, because they just, I don't relate. Where was the hymn? I want a hymn. Where's the old hymns? I want you to know that I know what you're thinking, because I've thought it too. And then comes along the bald guy. And he brings this sermon. And you start to evaluate him, and you go, not too bad. He's okay. You know what? He shared a few things that really kind of helped. There was one moment, I remember that moment, and he shared that thing from the scriptures, and it went, that's really good. That touched my heart. Whether it's a bald guy or it's a guy with a bunch of hair, it doesn't matter. We all evaluate the preacher in the sermon, don't we? We go in, we hear what he says, or we are quick to say, you know what? That wasn't relevant to me whatsoever. All those things we do, especially maybe if you're here today for the first time. And if you are here for the first time, let me just say, we're so glad you're with us. I'm not being facetious. I'm very pleased you're with us. And I hope today that as you leave this place, that you have felt very warmly welcomed. So I'm encouraging all our people this morning that if you see somebody brand new this morning, go say hello. Let them know that they are welcome, that they belong, right? That they belong. And to let them know that they would be wonderful to have them come back and really enjoy this fellowship. Maybe you've been here before, but you're not here all the time. We want to especially welcome you back and let you know that you belong too. Whenever you can get here, we're thankful that you're with us. That's what happens normally on a Sunday morning. When people come to church, they go through this checklist. And the question that you should have this morning, if you are new here, or if you are visiting again, or if you are a long-term participant here at Bridletown Park Church, is, what am I doing here? What is church all about? Is this the right place? Is this a good church? Are we a good church? And Steve, I need the clicker. I almost forgot about that. I have slides for you this morning. You can say ooh and ah anytime. Are we a good church? Are we a healthy church? That's what we're talking about this morning. What makes a healthy church? Remember last week? If you were here last week, we talked about what makes a healthy church. And it is a vital signs of a healthy church. We're looking at what are those things that draws us to a place where we can say, yep, things are in right order here. We are biblically functioning as a healthy church. I want to have that because if I'm going to a church, I want to be sure that I'm in a place where I'm engaged with a group of believers that has an understanding of what it means to be functioning and serving in a place of health, in a God-honoring New Testament church. And Wouldn't that be something that you would want to know? Don't you want to know this morning if you are a part of building, by God's grace, a church that is healthy and pleasing to God? So, therefore, what are we aiming for as we come together week by week? We serve together. We do life together. What are we aiming at? What should be foundational? Well, I remember an illustration by Charlie Brown. How many people love Charlie Brown? Everybody loves Charlie Brown. You can't. And the illustration was that Charlie Brown in the first strip was pulling an arrow back. In the second strip, the arrow was let go and it ended up in a fence. In the third strip frame, Charlie Brown walks up to the fence and draws circles around the arrow. And in the last frame, I can't remember who it was, but somebody's asking him, "What are you doing?" And he's saying, "Well, this way I can never miss the bullseye." Isn't that the great way to target practice? You shoot at something, and then wherever it lands, you put the bullseye right around it. I think that's brilliant, Charlie Brown. But is that reality? No. That's not quite reality. We need to know, as we serve God, as we come together week after week after week, that we have the right bullseye. We have the right spot we're aiming for. And then we do everything we can to hit that bullseye, to hit that mark, to hit that vital sign. Where'd it go? There we go. To hit that vital sign. And so this week, out of the nine vital signs that we're going to look at, we're going to begin with bump, 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 bump. You don't want to see that yet. Close your eyes. Bump, bump, bump. I have no clue what I'm doing. You can tell that, can't you? Steve, can you get me back to where I should be? And then I'm going to point at you because you're the clicker expert. Get me back to the beginning and then one slide. This morning we're going to be looking at expositional preaching. How many people know what expositional preaching is? Put your hand up. Oh, yeah. Some are putting it way up. Thank you, Ricky. You got your hand way up high. Some are going like this because I think I know what he's going to talk about. And the rest of you are going, haven't got a clue what expositional preaching. Well, I believe, as many others do, that expositional preaching is one of the vital signs, one of the marks. Oh, very good. One of the marks of what a healthy church should look like. And I think that if we get this one right, then many of the other marks, many of the other vital signs will fall into place. I also believe, and I think many of you do, that the pastor's role is to be a preacher of the Word of God. And if you know what expositional preaching is all about, it is to be an expositional preacher of the Word of God, where he establishes the Word of God as the priority of what we do together week after week after week. Really, the Word of God is the single most important element or aspect of the life of the church. And if we have it in our lives every day, every week, we will grow healthy and vital as the body of Christ. And when you look at the Scriptures, you will see throughout the Scriptures clearly that God has decided to act by His Spirit through His Word. So, expositional preaching. What is it all about? Well, you probably know that there are all kinds of preachers out there, and some of them preach, and I will at times, for example, today, for the next few weeks, because of the nature of what we have to accomplish, we're going to preach topically. But as a steady, healthy diet, the Scriptures need to be preached expositionally. But for the next few weeks, we're going to look at the topic of health in the church. And a topical sermon says, what does the Bible say about? For example, what does it say about marriage? What does the Bible say about prayer? What does it say about holiness or parenting? That's where the preacher looks throughout the whole of the Bible and finds those scriptures that relate to that particular topic. And that's important because then he can preach and he can bring some real important subject matter in a very quick and insightful way throughout the Scriptures. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but not as a as a main diet of the church. And there's a good reason for that. Because preaching expositorily makes us go through the Bible systematically, and allowing the Bible to speak even more poignantly through the study of a text, a passage, a book of the Bible in a context that allows us to see everything clearly. Too often preachers preach topically because they think that that's the only way that we can bring the Word of God to us in a relevant manner. But I say to you this morning that all of the Scripture is relevant, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, whether it appears relevant or not. It all has relevance to my everyday life. Expository preaching, though, I want you to know, is not me giving you a verbal commentary of each verse of the Scriptures, but is bringing to you a very clear understanding of a contextual study of the Word of God with relevance. Expository preaching is, here's some thoughts for you, a tool that is ultimately a service to discover the clear and authoritative teaching of the Word of God. It begins with, and here's important, I want you to listen to this, it begins with a foundational presumption or belief in the authority of the Word of God as God's Word. Do you believe the Scriptures that you may hold in your hands in whatever form you have it this morning is actually God's Word? All of it, completely. Or do you believe, as some, that it contains God's Word? Because there are many people out there who says, well, somewhere in this Bible, God's Word is clear, and I just have to search through it to find it. I want to let you know that we believe here that all of the Scripture is actually God's very words to us as men and women and children, and that He has protected that Word as it has come through human authors, that it's His Word. So we believe that clearly. And also that we as a church have established a priority to be in that Word, that it is the single most important aspect of our fellowship as a church. And that when we look through the Scriptures carefully, we see that God is working in that Word to change us, to transform us, to shape our minds, to help us to know how to live our lives. And if we hear that Word and we submit to that Word, God's Word will change us. Next slide. Here's what we need as a definition this morning. Expository preaching is a commitment to preach a passage in context and to bring the meaning into modern day relevance. So in other words, you know that I've been preaching, for example, I preached through the opening of John in the first few weeks of being here. I preached expositorily through that, expositional preaching, so that you would get what God was saying in the full context of that. We looked at the first three chapters of the book of John. And many of you now have a better grasp of what God was trying to teach us through that, because we went through it passage by passage, not just verse by verse, but contextually, paragraph by paragraph, trying to understand what God was saying and teaching us in that. So this morning, we want to be mindful that as a church, we are healthy when we are in God's Word and preaching the whole counsel of God. And I've found, and many have found, that expositional preaching brings that out the very best in the life of the church. Let me just bring you through some scriptures that help us to understand the importance of God's Word, that it is not something we do because we've done it for years, that is, preach the Word, but it's something that God has planned for us to be a part of in our worship service, in our lives, in our daily lives. Remember Genesis 1? He created the world. How did He do it? By His Word. Then in Genesis 3, His Word brought hope to a lost couple who had sinned and broken fellowship with him. And that word of hope was that he had a promise for them, that God would make a way for them to come into right relationship with him once again. Genesis 12 came along, and God chose a man named Abram, and out of that man came a nation that would bring the Messiah. And Abram became Abraham, and God's word was found clear and true. Exodus chapter 3, as we continue to move along, God's word came out of a burning bush. God did miraculous things throughout history. And in that burning bush, he talked to a man named Moses, and his word was, I'm going to use you as my servant, and you're going to teach people my truths and my plan for their lives. And Moses, with stumbling mouth, took that message of God's word, and a nation began to form into a free nation. They were moved out of Egypt into the new land eventually. And all of that was based on God's word. Exodus 20, God's word became actual laws. We have the Ten Commandments. And out of those words, God brought these Ten Commandments, which allowed people to see God's holiness and man's sinfulness. Those words of the Ten Commandments were never, ever going to be able to be kept perfectly. And God gave them to mankind so that we would understand we were still without hope. His word showed us that we needed a relationship with him where he could heal us from our sin. And then we come to 1 Kings 18. I just chose this one out of reams of scripture, where the scripture in 1 Kings 18 says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. You've heard that many times in scripture, haven't you? The word of the Lord came. Why is that important? Because 3,800 times in the Old Testament, we see that phrase, the word of the Lord came. God's word, paramount in the life of all those in the Old Testament. Not only was it paramount in the Old Testament, it has become equally or even more so paramount in our lives. God's word came as a means of faith. How were people to respond to God? He gave them his word, and as he gives them his word, he's saying, obey my word. By faith, just obey me. We know that God is our primary object of faith, but his word is our secondary object of faith, which leads us to our primary object of faith. So the word of God becomes critical when we understand. How do we know God? We know God by looking into his word and by faith believing and trusting it to be God's very heart and thoughts for us. So at this time, let's just stop for a second. I want to say two things. One is, we believe God has actually spoken. Do you believe that? I do. I believe God has spoken. There's too much evidence. And by faith, I believe this is his word. And secondly, we believe that God leads his people by and through his word. If God has spoken, which I believe is so well and clearly documented, then I must live my life by his word, which he has given to us in the scriptures. Do you see why God's word is so central to our lives? It is central to our lives because it really brings life. Let's see the next slide, Steve. The rule of God's word, it brings life. Without God's word, there would be no life. It's central. The Bible is not our imaginations of the heart and mind of God. The Bible is God's very word to us. Therefore, it should be central to our lives. The role of God, it brings life to us. Well, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. I wanted to use this morning as an example of how important God's word. This is God's illustration to us and to the Old Testament people and to us as New Testament people of why God's word is so powerful and so important to us. Let me read Ezekiel 37, the first six verses. Ezekiel 37, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. So this is a vision to the prophet Ezekiel. and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. Verse 3, Ezekiel 37. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy, or we could easily say, preach over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. It's a very powerful passage, especially for Ezekiel, who was a very discouraged prophet of the Lord. He was a man who was struggling with his faith, and God at that moment in his life knew he needed to see the power of the message that he was being given and how he would be a part of blessing the nation of Israel. And here we see what happens when Ezekiel responds. He, in the vision, he preaches over these dry bones, these dead bones. They're dead. They're gone. Then God interprets. Then we see what God has done as he preaches. So verses 7 through 10. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied. I preached as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, and an exceedingly great army. See what happens? God's trying to give Ezekiel a real image of the importance of the ministry of preaching the word. Not preaching what he wants. Not preaching, whatever topic of the day might be important or relevant at that time, but preaching, it says here, prophesying the word of the Lord. And as he prophesies the word of the Lord, God expands the vision, and Ezekiel sees these dry bones come to life with tendons and sinews and flesh and standing upright with breath in their body. It's a vision. It is an illustration that God is trying to help Ezekiel see so clearly how important his ministry of preaching the word of God. And in verse 11, God actually interprets the vision for him. And he shows him in verse 11 that these dry bones are actually the house of Israel. And in verse 14, he says, how is this going to happen? How is this dead, lifeless Israel going to come back to life and serve me faithfully? It's going to be in verse 14, by the preaching of the word of God. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, I will do it, declares the Lord. So God gives Ezekiel a great vision. How important God's word is. And then we come to the New Testament, and in the New Testament we see, let me just mention this. Genesis 1, we see the world come into existence. Remember that? God in the beginning created. And in John chapter 1, we see the God who created the world come into the world and become man. One of his created works, he becomes like them. He comes into the body flesh. And in John 1, verse 1, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 3 and 4, let's just go to that. Turn to John. I want to make sure you get this. John chapter 1. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 2. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was a light of men. This is the one who created all the world, all the universe, all the things we don't even have a clue about. He is the one. And guess what? In verse 14 it says, "And this word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." God's word brings life. He brought life to this planet, this universe. Then he brought life to us by his Son. In Christ, God's word had fully and finally come. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's interesting. We know that God came as man. He is Jesus Christ. We know that his primary goal was to come and die for us because we were lost and without hope. Our sin had separated us from God and continues to do that. And only by Christ's sacrificial death, his taking our place on the cross and dying in our place, that we can have life. But do you know what Jesus says about his coming? Mark 1:38, just listen. And he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns," Jesus is saying, "that I may preach there also." For why? "For that is why I came." Jesus came to preach the word, to preach his own word, to tell the world that his word is what changes life. His word is what brings life. And if we as believers are not in the word, if it is not central to our lives, then our life is limited. Our life is diminished. We may have eternal life because we've trusted Christ, but we don't have a fulfilling and fully filled life because God's word brings life. And remember last week, Acts 2, God's word was preached. Peter is preaching to these people about what Jesus is all about. And finally, they recognize that they are lost and all they want to do is get one question asked. What shall we do? That question, which is the most important question you're going to ask, is what do I do now that I know I am lost? Peter said, trust the one who came, God the Word, who became flesh. Trust his word, trust him. The word of God, so important in our lives. The word of God speaks, and are we ready to hear and obey? What do we need in our lives to live lives that are founded on the word? Anybody here have a dog? How many people have dogs? Not too many dogs. Not one dog owner in the whole... No! No, we have to change that. I love dogs. I can't have a dog because my life's too crazy, just like yours. But if somebody here would get a dog so I could borrow it once in a while, that would be great. You have a cat. You have a cat, Rudy. You have a good relationship with your cat? You wish. Okay. That's not boding well for what I want to talk about this morning. But Rudy, if you go home this morning and that cat hops on your bed and looks at you and says, "Rudy, how was church this morning?" You actually look at this cat and you hear this cat say, "Rudy, how was church this morning?" That would fundamentally change your relationship with that cat, wouldn't it? It would. And if your dog or your pet actually verbally spoke to you, it would fundamentally change how you lived your life with that animal. See, in the beginning, God spoke to Adam and Eve. It was a wonderful relationship. They walked with God in the garden. And then sin, their choice, Adam and Eve's own choice to break that fellowship by choosing to disobey God. And a new normal happened. The old normal, that relationship with God was there and it was present. It was so very clear. But sin broke that relationship and a new normal began. That normal was that God had to speak and chose to speak in a different way. A way that would bring about faith through his word. Carl Henry, a great theologian, said this, "God will not be known if he does not speak. And we cannot know him if he has not spoken a word that we can rely upon. God must reveal himself. How true. We know that all the world, as we look into the heavens, we can see the handiwork of God. There's no doubt about it. We can see that if you really look carefully, there's no way that this world came about by chance. You may believe that, but in the end, you will discover that that's not true. But God has revealed himself. He has spoken to us very clearly. Enter, as they say in the theater stage, center the scriptures. And God's word has come to us. It says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, long ago at many times and in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. I want to let you know my main point today, if anything that you get, is God has spoken. And his speech, his word, brings life. Secondly, God's word not only brings life, the role of God's word is found so clearly in preaching. We talked about it a little bit so far. God's word is discovered in preaching. Preaching is the sharing of God's word, is my main role here. But preaching is not just for the preacher. It is the sharing of God's word by those who love him. Do you know each one of you are preachers, called to preach the word? And maybe you don't stand up in front of somebody, but you live your life by sharing the love of God and the love of his word to those of you, to those around you. As a matter of fact, this morning we're going to take part in a communion service. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll see that service is very clearly laid out how we should operate. Not only that, but chapters 11 through chapter 14, if I was to preach about how the church is to function, I would go to that section of Scripture and go expositionally through it, teaching us how Paul thought the church should work. And those thoughts did not come from his own heart, they came from the mind of God. And he penned them so that we would understand. Paul's standard for understanding how to live was God's word. Actually, in 1 Corinthians 14:26, he says, let all things be done for building up. And he just talked about preaching and teaching and serving God in and through his word. Paul's standard is that everything be done to edify and build up and bring fruit to the body. What preaching will do that? I want to encourage you. I think expositional preaching, that is, taking us through the scriptures systematically, will do that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Then I could take you to Psalm 119. Maybe this is your homework for today. Go through Psalm 119. Take time and just see how central the Word of God is as we read Psalm 119. We'll look today, as you do that later today, you will discover verse after verse after verse teach us the centrality of the Word of God and how it is to be spoken and shared. So we see that the Old Testament pattern leads into the New Testament pattern, that God's Word should be central. Lastly, this morning, we see the role of God is about sanctifying. It is about creating in us a pure and God-honoring life. Man does not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Matthew tells us. Psalm 119, I'll give you one verse. Psalm 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God's word is central, and it is a part of that creating in us a Christ-likeness. If we are not in God's word regularly, daily, weekly, and here's my little, for some reason, there are some of us here and in many other churches that don't believe that this Sunday morning hour and a half is sacred. They don't put a priority on this time. I want to encourage you this morning, folks, that this time that we meet together is a critical time of the week. And that your schooling, your jobs, nothing should come in the way of this hour and a half. And I want to encourage you husbands this morning, as leaders in your homes, and as men who will one day, God willing, be husbands, that we need to lead by saying, Sunday morning, it is God's special time for the church to gather. The scriptures teach that it says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I want to encourage you, this hour and a half where God's word is taught, is preached, is sung, and we worship Him should never be put aside for anything else. I hope you get my seriousness about this. I've been at a place where I didn't make it priority in my life. When I was really young, I could take Sunday morning or leave it. But as I've grown and as God has blessed me with understanding and as I've looked at the scripture, this is critical for us both individually and as a corporate body. We need to be together hearing God's word taught, preached, and we leave this place saying, God has spoken and I want to hear what He has for me. John 17 where it talks about the relationship between husbands and wives. Listen to this. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her that He might sanctify her. The church, that's us. That He might sanctify her, having cleansed her. How? How does the church get sanctified? By the washing of water with the Word. It's the Word of God that cleanses, that sanctifies, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Guys, gals, do you realize that God's Word is what creates in us that Christ's likeness that we deeply desire? And so therefore, our time in it each and every day in our quiet time, I hope you have a quiet time, our time together in Bible studies and small groups weekly, some on Fridays, some on Tuesdays, some on Wednesdays, all through the week. There's opportunity for you to be in the Word together. But most importantly, every week we worship God in the Word. Why do I put that slide up that says worship in the Word? Because I want to remind us that when we're in the Word, God is speaking to us directly and we get to worship Him as He speaks to us in and through that Word. We need God's word, first of all, to be saved. Secondly, to be challenged. Third, for it to shape us. His word gives us life, direction, and ultimately the goal of Christ's likeness. And I bring to you very clearly that as a healthy church, I think the very best way, and many, many others do, that expositional preaching will do the very best in delivering a healthy church. That is my goal for this church. That's my promise to you, that I will, over these years, take us through the scriptures systematically, book by book, chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, so that we might understand the whole counsel of God, understand it for personal relevance and for corporate relevance as we serve God in this world. Do we want to be a healthy church? Absolutely. Do we want to be a vital church? Yes. And so over the next few weeks, let's find out some more vital signs of a healthy church. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank You this morning that we were able to, in this manner, topically today, prepare ourselves for the right mindset of what a healthy church is. That is to be in Your word and looking through it expositionally, that is chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, looking to find what You have to say to us individually and as a corporate body, and then take that relevant word and live it out in everyday life. Thank You, Lord, now that as we just switch gears a little bit, we're going to go to this table which Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 11, which we can look so clearly at and discover that the whole context is about how the local church is to function. And one of the key functions is to obey that command which says, remember the death of Christ, his sacrificial death. So we're going to do that now. Just before we do, let's worship in song, Lord, and we want to just praise you. And we love you, and we seek to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.